Welcome to this afternoon's presentations. To kick us off this afternoon, we have a presentation with three speakers. Tony Buccellio will be joining Calvin Desplanc on stage. I have Calvin's a little note on Calvin, who is joined Cisco in 2002 in the role of FIPS 140 technical evaluator. He is also responsible for developing an algorithm testing and gap analysis tool that was used by both FIPS and common criteria evaluations. Prior to his FIPS days, he worked for Nortel, Entrust, and other technology companies in both the InfoSec and defense sectors. He holds degrees in physics and engineering from Mount Allison University and in education from the University of Ottawa. Tony and Calvin will be talking about cryptographic algorithms in that occasionally someone in the vendor community will find a method to extend the efficiency or security of a new mode of an approved cryptographic algorithm. And Calvin and Tony will describe the journey that follows when you want to try and do that. They will be joined on stage after their presentation by Dr. Lily Chen, who is the Acting Director of Crypto Technology Group at NIST, who will have comments on the journey. Please join me in welcoming our speakers to the stage this afternoon.
Thank you. Now, the first thing I'd like to say is, I would have liked to have said today we came to the end of our journey. We're still not quite there yet, but we'll describe how far we've got. Let me put my glasses on so I can see what I'm doing. So as I said, we're talking about adding to the approved list of algorithms. And this whole thing came about because of something which happened inside of Cisco that caught my attention. First of all, you've already had the introduction to the speakers. Lily's not here because Lily is going to do her own slide deck after the end of our presentation. And one more click. So first we have to identify the need for either a new algorithm or enhancement to an existing algorithm. Vendors, they seek opportunities to either improve a process, make it faster, make it more sellable, beat the competition, whatever. Usually that's with faster hardware, but sometimes it's actually through modifying a protocol, adding a new protocol, changing the IV in a protocol, or changing the way the IVs are calculated, making the IV even longer potentially. And what happened was, I'll just quickly describe how this came about. Inside Cisco, somebody came up with a project and had a new hardware crypto chip on it. I said, that's a very nice hardware crypto chip, and I went and got the specs for it, and I said, oh, there's this mode of GCM that I've never heard of before. And nobody at NIST had it on any lists as an approved mode of that the GCM algorithm. So I had to have a little talk with them about that. So in the ideal world, people responsible coming up with the enhancements usually should, in theory, give us, the certification team, a sufficient advance notice of what they're planning. Unfortunately, that's the ideal world. In the real world, they tend to tell me this at the last minute. So we had a good long talk about this, and we discovered that, yes, I was very sad, that they weren't quite prepared to move forward with this thing. So they left a little bit of work for me. So lessons learned from this exercise, try to inject yourself very early into the product design life cycle. They don't think of us as engineers, certification people, even though many of us have engineering degrees. We're not particularly welcome at their meetings because, especially hardware engineers, they like to talk amongst themselves. So at the worst of it, try to get observer status at their meetings. Don't trust anyone. And I don't say that in a malicious way, because Cisco's a big organization. We'll have marketing people saying, these capabilities are going to be in it, these protocols, these standards. The PMs will say something else, maybe overlap a little bit, maybe overlap a lot. Then you talk to the systems engineers, the software engineers, and the hardware engineers, five different groups talking about the same product, yet all describing it with different components and protocols. So you come in and try to be the arbitrator and try to get at least a consistent set of expectations out of them. I thought that's what program managers are for, but apparently that's what certification people are for. read as much of the new product documentation as you can, because engineers tend to be brutally honest. They actually write down what they're designing sometimes. And quite often you can find little pearls of wisdom in their design documents. Not a lot of good English, unfortunately, but some wisdom. Perform a thorough FIPS gap analysis. Very, very important. If something smells like it's cryptographic in nature, even though they haven't identified it as such, suspect that it might be. Determine whether you've previously validated this or not, and if you haven't, then assume that it's something new and ask a lot more questions. Try to find out what the software people or the hardware people are doing. And try to resolve all the differences before the design goes to finality. Try to get the program managers, the salespeople, and the engineers all to agree on a common design. Even if it's a bad design, at least it's something you no longer have a moving target. And then you put your own expectations in there. You say, we can validate this for FIPS. We can't validate this for FIPS. They might have some things in there which aren't validatable in FIPS currently, and that's where this whole process started. So one thing from this particular lesson which was very important is remind the designers that you are the FIPS subject matter expert, not the person they're buying the hardware ICs from. I'm not saying that hardware salespeople are liars, but they tend to extend the truth. A certain particular company who shall remain unnamed, even though they're not at this conference, were telling our hardware people, oh yes, this chip has got all the FIPS approval it needs, you can put it in your product and run with it. Yes, it had all the algorithm certificates. But unfortunately, the way that one of their algorithms wasn't quite kosher with FIPS. The hardware designers preferred to believe them because that's what they wanted to hear. Unfortunately, I had to give them the hard truth that that's not the way it was. Be honest with the team, communicate with them, make sure that there are no assumptions. Just try to get everything out in the open. And the most important part, let them know that FIPS approved cryptography sometimes is accepted and sometimes it's rejected by NIST. So if they're going down a certain path, tell them that it's not always a good ending. You could find out you're designing something with hardware that will not be available in a FIPS approved mode of operation. Someday in the future, maybe never. That's just the harsh reality of things. So there's two sort of, I like to call them the informal and then the formal approach to doing this. Now, there are some fairly well-designed formal processes within NIST, CMVP and NIST, and this, with the CTG of bringing new modes of algorithms and new algorithms into the fold. The problem we had here with this particular algorithm, it was a variation of the IV. So it didn't really fit into the formal method. So we started with the informal method, as we call it. So we picked a FIPS lab that we had a good relationship with, Tony and Acumen. And then we contacted the right people inside the CMVP. Well, not the right people. We contacted people in the CMVP, the CAVP, the CTG, and a few others, and basically described the situation we had. And we asked them, what should we do? A few emails go back and forth. And they suggested that we take a particular attack at this. And Tony will talk about a little bit more about that in his slides. The one thing before you go ahead with this informal process, before it becomes more of a formal process, is try to get as much supporting evidence as possible. So in our case, we were backed up by the fact that this IV calculation method was part of 802.1 AEBW. So it's been around since 2013. So the international community at least had accepted this as a extension on the GCM standard. So we felt, you know, we had a bit of precedence behind us. You know,